In our last episode, Milton Tyrie challenged us to question our automatic thoughts and introduced the idea that truly seeing a person's potential begins with discovery. But what does that process look like in real life? How does exploring someone's interests and strengths actually lead to opening up job opportunities? That's what we'll learn in the fourth episode of Opening Opportunities, Season 2 of the Imagine More podcast. Welcome back to Opening Opportunities. This season, we're sharing the presentations from our 2023 conference, which was all about creating real job opportunities for people with intellectual disability. I'm your host, Osha. Today, we'll hear from Millie Whitehead, who is 18 years old and a recent school leaver. Along with her mum, Simone, and her employer, Roz, Millie will describe how a process called discovery helped reveal employment possibilities. As a result of the discovery process, Millie started a micro-enterprise and explored work experience. From this presentation, you'll learn how much families can be involved in the exploration of employment and how exciting it can be to see the opportunities unfold. The full transcription of this presentation can be found in the episode's show notes. You'll also find a link to our website, where you can watch the presentation on video. These presentations were pre-recorded, because Millie, Simone, and Roz couldn't attend the conference in person. Let's welcome Millie, Simone, and Roz to the virtual stage.
Hello, my name is Millie Whitehead. I am 18 years old, and I'm a new 12 at Canberra College. I'm here with my mum and work experience employer, Roz Cooley. I'm going to talk about some of the things in my life that I enjoy doing and that I want to continue after I leave school. I love dancing and music. Dancing and music makes me feel amazing because I can forget about everything when I'm learning new moves and dancing with my friends. I love drawing. Drawing and painting help me express myself in different ways through shape and color. Coloring makes my drawings more beautiful. I love animals. I really enjoy meeting new dogs on our walks with Mabel, a labradoodle. I'm a college zookeeper at the Canberra Zoo, and this term I'm learning how to look after animals and fish in the aquarium. I would like to volunteer at the zoo one day. I love my friends and family. I love spending time with my family, and I really like seeing my cousins. I also enjoy going out with my friends on different outings. I love my micro enterprise, which is called Made by Miss Millie. I make colourful Christmas decorations and scrunchies to sell. I have an Instagram page too. I do my sewing lessons each week. I'll have more time to spend on my business next year. Work experience with Boz has been great, and I have learnt a lot of new things. I work one morning a week in the office, and I have regular tasks to do when I arrive. I fill the photocopy is up with paper, tidy and arrange the meeting rooms in the kitchen. I also put together information packs for meetings. I have been learning how to help on reception too. I enjoy seeing my co-workers each week and being a member of the KBR team. One idea I have for next year is to work at a vet or a zoo where I can use my office skills and combine this with my love of animals. Another idea is to work in a front office of a school. I would like to study office skills and animal care CRT. The message I would give to other students with a disability about employment or work experience is believe in yourself, not to be scared. It's really enjoyable and you can learn a lot if you have the right people to work with you, to support and work with you. Thank you. Here's my mom, Simone, to tell you more about my journey of discovery.
Thank you, Millie. My name is Simone Whitehead, Millie's mum. My husband and I have three children, two older sons, Henry, Oliver, and Millie is our youngest. We have always tried to offer her the same opportunities as we offered our boys. Why should it be any different because she has a disability? Millie has always proved quite resilient. As much as she didn't like change, she has worked through a number of big changes in her life, which will give her confidence with her upcoming transition from school to work. Millie started her early years of education in an international school in Port Moresby. We moved to PNG when she was just in kindergarten. She was part of everything at the school, a student learning alongside the other children in her classes. She was a class captain and was involved in dance performances, sports carnivals, national and cultural celebrations, school camps, and extracurricular activities such as art, swimming, and tennis. She was involved in all aspects of school life, albeit with a curriculum which was modified by her teacher, but only as required. This resilience continued as we moved back to Australia after 4 years, and Millie started school in Australia. This was more difficult than we imagined, as we were getting advice that she needed to be in a special stream at school. However, it ended up that she was fully integrated through her primary years with modification of curriculum as required, as in PNG, and supported in class, thanks in the main to a wonderful young inclusive thinking teacher who taught her over her last 2 years of primary school. But through high school and college, she has been part of a learning support unit embedded within the school. Back then, we were unsure of our rights to insist that she be included within the mainstream with her learning supported. Millie had struggled with friendships back in Australia after PNG, and it seemed easier at the time to have her supported in this and other aspects of school life through her teenage years. We started on a more focused and conscious journey of discovery when Millie was in year 10, after I was introduced to Imagine More by a teacher at Millie's high school. I had been concerned that years were passing and had expressed to her that now really was the time to seriously start thinking about what life after school might look like. And since then, I have been learning about creating a vision for a typical and good life for Millie, with goals of meaningful work, freely given relationships, a variety of roles within her community, and eventually a home of her own. I have been doing this by exploring the theories of customized employment, as Milton has just described, and social role valorization through Imagine More's online resources, workshops, webinars, peer groups, and in-person support. One of the most powerful learning tools has been listening to other families' stories, which have inspired us to try new things and to have high expectations. It is an exciting pathway to Millie's future, and we are no longer as daunted or overwhelmed by this journey as we once were. We have a strong vision of how life can be for Millie and all its potential. We hope this will result in Millie finding employment in a job she enjoys, aligned to her interests, where she can contribute and be a valued team member. Along with being a valued employee, we want Millie to be known in her local community and to hold lots of different roles so she has a rich and full life, not just one that is filling in time. Millie has many valued roles now, as shown on the slide, and we hope she will continue to discover more roles as she moves into adulthood. Discovery is the first step in this process and captures information about Millie's strengths, interests, and needs to help us prepare for her transition from school to work or school to more learning. We have done this and continue to do this by noticing things in Millie's daily life that can translate into work skills and which can also open up other opportunities that will align with these strengths, interests, and needs. We have also set up new opportunities for Millie ourselves in order to discover more about her. For example, her micro enterprise, which I will expand on later. As Millie has told you, she is currently in year 12 at college, so the end of her school life is only a matter of months away. We are working to make the transition from school a smooth one without too much stress or anxiety, and we'll try to ensure that life after school is meaningful, rewarding, and interesting. Millie will need to call on her inner resilience again for this big change. To do this, we are bringing together the results of our informal discovery process done over her life so far to really work out what Millie likes or what aspect of particular things she likes, doesn't like, her passions, what motivates her and what doesn't, and what her unique conditions for success are. We have done this through observing Millie at home, at school, in the community, and through exploring extracurricular opportunities and some work experience. Some of the things we have learned about Millie's interests are that she is very creative and has a good eye for design and colour. She is organised, ordered, methodical, has great attention to detail, and a great memory. She is drawn to all animals, but especially dogs. She enjoys learning dance and performing and has a love of music. She is very social and enjoys interacting with others of all ages, and she has a wonderful sense of humour. The opportunities we have offered Millie to gain these insights were varied. The observation of her love of animals comes from a number of activities both at home and in the community. At home, we have a pet dog, Mabel, and Millie takes her for walks around the block, feeds her, and generally cares for her. On her neighbourhood walks, Millie often stops to chat to fellow dog walkers about their dogs, a commonality that puts her at ease in this social situation. She walks where she doesn't need to cross big roads and can get home easily, but this activity gives her confidence in her ability to handle Mabel on her own. It is also a good way for Millie to become known in our local area. During her primary and high school years, Millie had horse riding lessons, enjoyed both the riding and social aspects. She loved the horses and interacting with her fellow riders, the coach, and the farm dogs and cats. Millie learned how to groom, how to care for the saddle and other gear, and to clean out a horse's stable. Through high school, Millie has also been a junior zookeeper at the Canberra Zoo and Aquarium. Here she enjoyed learning about different types of animals with their different needs and working in a team to complete regular zookeeper tasks, such as feeding, providing suitable enrichment activities, changing bedding, and cleaning enclosures, including the huge job of cleaning out the giraffe's enclosure, a task made much easier and more enjoyable through teamwork. Working with animals, big and small, domesticated or in a zoo, will always involve a lot of cleaning up jobs. Both horse riding and working at the zoo requires Millie to be very aware of working with animals that can be big, unpredictable and dangerous, and that certain safety measures are required for each of these roles. Millie's zookeeping activity was for one afternoon a month, and the same group of junior zookeepers continued for the 3 years that Millie was involved. She developed some nice friendships and had a Friends from the Zoo WhatsApp chat group. She was part of the annual sleepover and the conservation open day. The junior zookeepers all wore uniform shirts and caps, so were distinct from the general public. She even knew some of the zoo's secrets before the public, like the birth of the baby giraffe, and was able to visit and watch her grow until she was ready to be put out on public display. Millie felt like she belonged and contributed along with her fellow team members. Millie is currently a college zookeeper, a new program at the zoo, and goes weekly on a Tuesday morning before school. Millie has developed new friendships and has had the same zookeeper leader for 3 years. This has helped Millie continue and feel supported in engaging fully in the program. The zookeeper leader is young, vibrant, knowledgeable, and knows Millie well. Volunteering at the zoo might be a next step for Millie. Millie's interest in dance, performance, and music in general are seen through activities she likes to do at home, at school, and in the community. Millie has always lit up when listening to music, starting from when she was a baby. A long time ago, I was listening to a Johnny Cash song in the car, and Millie, then a toddler, was in the back singing along. I couldn't believe she knew the words to the song. Her memory for lyrics continues today, as does her love of music. She has her own playlist set up on her phone, organized depending on the occasion or mood. She enjoys concerts and loves seeing Guy Sebastian and Ed Sheeran more recently. These big concerts with thousands of people were a big test for Millie, who usually doesn't cope well with large crowds, uncertainty, unknown places, late nights, or loud noise. We help Millie deal with these challenges in this particular environment through talking about what to expect, options to leave early, and having earplugs on hand if necessary. Millie has asked for the latest Just Dance interactive game each Christmas for a number of years now. She dances and sings along with these consistently through each year and always initiates this activity herself. Her singing and dancing at home prompted us to find a dance class for her. She joined a class with the Canberra Dance Theatre and really enjoys her weekly lessons. Millie has performed on various occasions at the Dance Theatre and also at the Portrait Gallery. She happily attends all rehearsals and is excited to wear her costumes and perform alongside her friends in the group. Millie is a quiet girl, but is not too shy to perform. She feels very proud at the end of each performance. Millie and her social side are noticed in all areas of her life. One of the most consistent needs and motivation for continuing any activity or interest is that of its social side. Once she gets to know you, especially adults in her life, she will ask you about your family, your children, your pets, and what you've been up to each time she sees you. She remembers details and is genuinely interested in you and your life. Millie is a caring person and shows this in her friendships. She likes to help her friends and often speaks on their behalf if needed. She likes engaging with friends socially at school or as part of her regular interests such as dance or in the local community by visiting cafes with family and friends. Millie is also a keen member of an organised social group. She is now part of its leadership committee, which meet regularly online to decide on and organise upcoming activities. The leadership committee members help set up, greet new members, are ready to assist if needed, but who also enjoy the activity themselves. Millie doesn't like conflict and especially conflict with friends or between other friends. She tries to fix things and gets worried about the situation, even if it is not about her. This is an aspect we work on by talking through issues at home, but also with the help of an art therapist. Using art therapy as a means for Millie to privately discuss things in her life that she needs clarification about or help with is a perfect fit for her, as she gets to create, talk, and find solutions all at the same time. Millie is a keen Wordle competitor. She completes it every morning and is very motivated to post her results in her Wordle chat groups, set up specifically with family and friends who also play it daily. There is always a daily Wordle winner. Millie loves doing 1,000-piece puzzles, using her skills of perseverance, patience, and attention to detail. She completes puzzles with a degree of mindfulness that helps her relax and recharge quietly at home. The end result of her determination and one of her intrinsic motivations is the ensuing photo to family and the well done's given in response. Some family friends have noticed Millie's interest in puzzles and send her photos of puzzles they have completed themselves, and now we even exchange puzzles. A number of years ago, while Millie was still in high school, we had the opportunity to travel to Vietnam when my husband was posted there for work. This was an opportunity for Millie to discover new interests, places, ways of living, interacting with people in a new and very different environment. The streets of Saigon were busy, noisy, hot, crowded, and quite overwhelming. We planned our outings for the morning to be short and focused, and then relaxed and swam during the afternoons back at the apartment. A key thing we noticed traveling was that Millie was very open to new experiences, as long as she felt well supported and listened to when she did start to feel overwhelmed or anxious. With my husband posted for 2 years, this was a huge adjustment and challenge for Millie and our family. By maintaining her routines and loved activities and online contact with her dad, Millie was able to thrive during this period. Millie's interest in being creative and her eye of colour are observed at home, at school, and again in the community. Millie has always loved drawing, painting, and putting colours together, both at home and at school. We have been told regularly by her teachers that she has a good eye for colour and a creative side worth nurturing. To test this, we enrolled her in a drawing and painting class for primary schoolers at the Belconnen Art Centre. She enjoyed these classes and created some interesting work. She then took art as an elective in high school, along with textiles, and has also done an art elective in college. Being creative is something that she really enjoys and seeks out. This will continue through her lifetime, I'm sure. As Millie mentioned, she paints to relax and to forget any worries she might have. I think this can be interpreted that being creative for Millie is an essential part of who she is as a person. To explore her textiles interest further, in Year 10, we found a sewing teacher locally, and Millie has been having lessons with her ever since. She especially enjoys these lessons, held in the teacher's home, and who has a young family, dogs, and an array of wonderfully coloured fabrics, ideas, and endless stories to entertain Millie as they work together. The teacher has adapted Millie's lessons to include printouts with simple step-by-step instructions with photos, along with templates and videos if needed. Millie's specific conditions of success are met here. To have an engaging teacher, very supportive one-on-one lessons, set out clear instructions, and a relaxed, fun environment in which to be creative. All very important motivations for Millie to continue and explore her interests further. We had been thinking also about other opportunities where Millie could further explore this interest in colour, sewing, and being creative. And we went about setting up a micro enterprise last year called Made by Miss Millie. I had no idea really how to do this, but we had a sewing machine and ideas, and that seemed like a good place to start. We are still finding our way, very slowly. Again, more on this later. Millie's sense of humour is seen in all aspects of her life, home, school, in her activities, and in her friendships. For all Millie's interests discussed so far, friendliness with a sense of humour is an important condition for success. It is a requirement for Millie that the people around her are approachable, supportive, and can see the funny side of things. A good chat with all its quirk is very uplifting for her. From her interactions with her sewing teacher, her art therapist, other leaders, teachers, friends, and family, through to her choice of TV programs and movies, her own sense of humour is highlighted. She loves The Big Bang Theory, Modern Family, and the teasing quiz show, Hard Quiz. Millie also loves to be organised. We have also observed across Millie's interests that she is organised, methodical, and has a good memory along with great attention to detail. This is through her remembering family's birthdays, doing large puzzles, remembering dance choreography, knowing her school and activity timetable, and been organised and ready for each. At home, Millie shows her organisational skills through her given tasks. She feeds Mabel, our dog, every morning, usually getting up before everyone else to do this at 6:30 a.m. each day, as requested by the dog on the dot, unpacking the dishwasher, having breakfast, and getting ready for her day. From appropriately From appropriately dressing for the weather to packing her lunch and gear she needs, she likes this daily routine. At the end of high school, we wrote to her teachers to ask them about what they had observed of Millie over her years there. They confirmed what we had also observed of Millie in her daily life, that she is a caring person and loyal friend and likes to help others. She is a hard worker and tries her best. She also has strong advocacy skills, both for herself and others. Due to the COVID lockdown at this time, the schools closed and students were homeschooled. She used her strong organisational skills and was ready and prepared for all her online classes. Staying connected to her peers and teachers was very important to Millie during this period. The teachers were impressed with her consistent work ethic and also her support of other students. What we have learned with Millie approaching the end of her school years and now preparing for the next phase in her life of work and further study is that discovery will be an ongoing and most likely lifelong process. There will always be more to discover about Millie's intrinsic interests and motivations as we and others observe her in different situations as more opportunities and roles open up in the future. And also as she herself develops as an individual young adult who wants to make her own decisions about her life and the direction it will take. So what have we learned about Millie's conditions for success? Over the years, while exploring and discovering more about Millie's interests and motivations, we have also learned a lot about Millie's conditions for success. I have mentioned some of these already, but we know that Millie does her best when she is with leaders and other people who are engaging and friendly, when she is in smaller groups where she feels comfortable and supported, but from where she is also able to extend herself outside this immediate comfort zone, when she is learning without pressure or strict time constraints, when she has structure and routine, she likes order, lists and timetables, when she has set tasks to be completed routinely along with a variety of non-regular tasks as required, when she knows what to expect and is able to prepare for the day ahead and has a place to call her own, such as a desk next to familiar colleagues, students, a place she feels she belongs, and when she is with people who have a good sense of humour and who like to have a chat. Millie is most productive, connected and positive in the first part of the day. She can get tired by mid-afternoon. We have also discovered what doesn't work well for Millie. These can include uncertainty and sudden changes to routine, how to fill in downtime at school or in a workplace, stressful environments such as high-pressure ones where people are stressed, in conflict and unfriendly, being isolated to do a task or activity, noisy and crowded environments, and being overwhelmed when tired and anxious, especially towards the end of a very busy day or when things haven't gone as planned. These conditions for success, plus our discovery of Millie's interests, are helping us explore, with Millie, what work experiences would be interesting and valuable to her now, and what paid work in the future might look like, a role that Millie will enjoy, thrive in, and be able to contribute meaningfully. Millie continues with her speech therapy as we have discovered that clear speech is very necessary in communicating well with people, especially when meeting them for the first time, for example, in a workplace. Speech therapy also helps in her understanding of language and what has been asked of her. It has been very beneficial in teaching Millie to be aware of social cues and rules, such as how to hold a two-way conversation and how to end one without awkwardness. We are in the very early stages of creating a circle of support for Millie around employment. We are thinking about people who know Millie well from her current roles as student, animal carer, dancer, sewer, office worker, along with family and friends who would be able to help and support Millie to live her typical life with meaningful work as a part of that life. We are using our vision for Millie to keep us on track through this process, and part of this vision is that Millie will have an award wage paid role in a small supportive team in an area of intrinsic interest for Millie. We had some challenges finding work experience during high school and college. Prior to COVID in year nine, Millie did a 1 week work experience in a florist and was involved mainly in the delivery of flowers, packing of gift hampers, checking inventory use by dates, along with some arranging of posies, along with helping with the tidying up at the end of the day. We thought Millie would enjoy this workplace given her creativity and love of colour. From this experience, we learned that Millie enjoys working in a small supportive team, but that she wasn't as interested in flower arranging as we thought she might be. As it was only a week-long block, it was tiring for Millie, and we realised she didn't get much of a chance to actually feel comfortable in the workplace and feel like she belonged, nor to understand and get to know the business's routines and people. We came to the conclusion that Millie needed to have a work experience set up to suit her, a customised one, where it could be spread out over a period of time and would address Millie's conditions for success. This would give Millie the best opportunity to explore a workplace and understand what aspects of it she enjoyed and would like to pursue and what parts she found difficult. During year 10, Millie joined a program at school where a group of year 10 students would volunteer in a classroom once a week at the Woden School. She enjoyed this role as learning support assistant, helping students younger than her in class with activities such as art and writing, whatever the teacher was teaching that lesson. She liked being an assistant to both the students and the teacher. It was in a familiar environment for Millie, a schoolroom, with a teacher and students doing familiar tasks. It aligned with her interests in helping others, and also her conditions of success were met by being part of a small supportive team. It was spread out over a period of time, giving her an opportunity to get to know the role, the people, to think about it in between times, and finally to feel confident to do what she was there to do and to belong. In year 11 at college, we had a difficult year finding and getting support in finding suitable work experience. Along with everyone else, it was very hard with the waves of COVID and not many businesses being able to accept students for work experience. I approached a dog daycare company, but it just wasn't viable as they were struggling with ongoing staffing issues and great uncertainty of what each week would hold. In our most recent NDIS review at the start of last year, we had asked to be considered for funding for job support for Millie's work experience and possible part-time work, but this was declined. We were told by our LAC that the SLES funds would only be available when Millie finished year 12. I believe some young people have been given this support while still at school, so it seems this decision can be a very subjective one, dependent on who is performing the review. Given that we would have liked Millie to have access to customised work experience and to explore paid part-time work through her college years, this lack of funding has made it more difficult. I also asked Millie's college if they might be able to provide LSA support for Millie while at work experience, especially in the early stage when learning new tasks and getting to know her colleagues. But I was told this wasn't possible. It would need to be outsourced. It is enormously difficult, I'd imagine, for most students with a disability to set off on their own for a traditional school week-long work experience to an unknown environment with new people, new tasks, new routines, and no real time to get to know the business or for the business to get to know them or to see how that student might contribute in a role. Work experience should not just be another thing that a school needs to tick off. Real value from the experience is needed. We have our plan review coming up again at the end of this year. We hope through this review process to secure the NDIS funding for a job support mentor for Millie and really start exploring the world of work using everything we have learned so far in discovery. I will have help this year in preparing for our NDIS plan review, both from Imagine More and others in the community. It helps to be very clear about what you're asking for and why. I get very nervous before reviews, but I'm hoping to be more confident this time. I have just finished making the most of your funding course with Imagine More, and now I know more about developing a vision, nurturing life roles and freely given relationships, the power of positive introductions and using support, both paid and unpaid, to develop social and employment opportunities for Millie. So, exploring Millie's interests through a micro enterprise. Back to year 11 and our difficulties in finding viable work experience for Millie, I started to think about other work options. Along with learning some very useful life and creative skills, I thought her sewing lessons could possibly lead to other pathways, such as selling her creations, fabric design, or screen printing. She is very proud of her finished works and likes to share what she makes and draws or paints via photos to family and as gift for both family and friends. Given her love of sewing and of being creative, we went about setting up a micro enterprise to show and sell some of her work online. We had also started to make Christmas acorn felt board decorations using lots of wonderfully coloured felt balls. The name of Millie's business is Made by Miss Millie, and she makes and sells hair scrunchies and her Christmas and other felt ball decorations. We are only just starting out and are yet to set up an actual online shop, but we have a business name, business cards, and a love of the colour pink. We also have a presence on Instagram. The Christmas decorations are relatively easy to make and require a step-by-step process, as do the scrunchies. Leading up to last Christmas, we had a busy time filling orders for the decorations along with Millie's Christmas-themed scrunchies, sold mainly to and through family and friends. We have had some outside orders also, though, which is very exciting. Millie has some products for sale also in a couple of small and local gift shops wanting to support a community member. Her products are high quality and she has a quirky niche in the Christmas decorations market. We have ideas to expand to other felt ball creations such as garlands and necklaces in the future. We are now starting to think about other ways she can sell her works down the track, including at local and country markets and suitcase rummages. At this stage, though, we are keeping the business small and manageable for Millie while she's at school. We are having our first pop-up shop today, which will be open during lunch and afternoon tea breaks. Prior to starting this micro-enterprise, I had asked Millie a number of times about what she thought about possibly setting up a small business and was always met with a resounding no. I came to realise that Millie didn't understand what it actually meant to set up a business, and maybe it didn't have to be too big, overwhelming and stressful. We are starting very, very small, and we will see where it takes us. If Millie continues to enjoy the process and wants it to grow, being a business owner can be just one of her roles into the future. There is a lot to learn about running a small business, and one of these could lead Millie in a different direction again, such as into social media, photography or bookkeeping. The aim is that eventually Millie will take full control of her business with some support, such as a dedicated circle of support for her business. Its creativity could sit alongside paid work in the community with the very necessary motivations of social interaction, a sense of belonging, and a regular paid wage. At the end of last year, and after setting up the micro enterprise, I was talking to a new personal connection, now a friend of mine, about how work experience was very hard to find during COVID, and especially hard for a young person with disability. I first met Roz, who's here today to also speak to you, through a group called Dinner with Friends. She had set this up for young people to assist them to develop friendships and to be social and have fun. Roz, herself a parent to a young man with a disability, fully understood the need for worthwhile and valuable work experiences in a supportive environment while still at school. Roz had contacted Canberra College to offer a work experience to a suitable candidate in an office in the company she works for, KBR. Millie's name was put forward by the college as someone who would work well in a supportive, consistent environment and who was interested in experiencing office work. Roz, who had met Millie, agreed and was very happy to work with us to customize the role to maximize Millie's chance of success. She was able to visualize Millie working in her office and how it might be beneficial for both her office and for Millie. Roz and I met prior to Millie starting to discuss details. We decided, given Millie works best in the mornings, that she would work once a week on a Thursday morning for half a day. This arrangement was approved by the college and was seen as a valuable alternative to her regular classes during those times. I was then disheartened when one of Millie's teachers asked me, "Are you sure Millie is really ready for this?" This comment upset me, but I confidently answered yes. I am so glad that I had attended a number of Imagine More workshops on customized employment. You don't need to be deemed ready for either work or, in this case, work experience. If I hadn't had this background knowledge of what can be achieved through these opportunities, I may have believed this teacher and doubted myself and Millie's ability to be able to manage such a work experience. Before commencing, Millie and I visited the office with Roz to meet some of the staff and to familiarise Millie with the office layout, to show her her desk, and to talk about the unwritten office rules, such as what happens at tea time and lunch. This helped reduce Millie's uncertainty and anxiety on her first day. Millie was to be working with Roz and her assistant Donna in a small team, extending to reception later on. We envisage Millie's skills have been organised, having a good attention to detail, along with her needs being met by working in a supportive, welcoming environment with structure and routine, that it would be a successful experience. And if it didn't go well, we would learn more about Millie and what she doesn't like in a workplace. She has now been working with KBR across more than two school terms and still looks forward to going each week. We would definitely class it as a success. We have learned much from watching Millie develop her confidence and skills over this time, both with her work tasks and her self-confidence in being a contributing and valued member of the KBR team. Roz will talk more about work experience in KBR generally and her role in encouraging the workplace to take on students with a disability for work experiences. Millie is now handing over her role to another student and is teaching him on the job. So for the rest of Year 12 and beyond, we will continue to work on Millie's transition from school to work. We will continue to develop Made by Miss Millie while keeping it fun and manageable, and we are currently looking at arranging another work experience for Millie in a different office. This will help Millie understand that working in an office can hold variety and interest dependent on the nature of the company and the people who work there, but that a lot of skills are transferable. We are investigating courses at CIT for office skills and animal care for next year. Combining these two interests has Millie thinking positively about working on reception or in an office in an animal-based environment such as the zoo or a vet practice. As Millie mentioned earlier, working in the front office of a school would align with her interests too. Millie is also taking driving lessons after having passed her road-ready course. This will assist her in becoming more independent and in taking a typical path like other young people her age, if successful. All this, along with keeping up with her regular schoolwork, her social life, and graduating Year 12. Always with the end goal in mind, to continue to strive for and follow our vision for a good, typical, and meaningful life for Millie. Thank you.
It's been great to hear about the discovery journey that Millie and her family have been on. And I've been very, very privileged to be a small part of that. Millie is amazing and she's absolutely bursting with potential. I thought for my part of the story, though, that I'd continue the discovery journey theme, but the focus is on the discovery journey that my company has gone through. I work for a company called Kellogg Brown & Root, known as KBR. I'm a solution designer and architect at KBR. I like to tell people that KBR is the biggest company that you've never heard of. We, at our heart, deliver science, technology, and engineering solutions to governments, and large companies around the world. Here in Australia, we do a lot of work with defence and other government bodies, such as NASA. A key part of my role is to articulate solutions and KBR's value proposition to the private sector, to governments and to defence in writing bids and tender responses. If you've had any exposure yourself to that process, you'll know that there's a requirement for companies to talk about their diversity and inclusion approach and their plan. We also talk about our corporate values, which at their heart are people-focused. Our headline is, we value people. Now, the KBR workplace is a very good workplace with great people. But some time ago, I found it increasingly hard to write corporate documents about how we support diversity and inclusion when I couldn't actually see some of the practical application of these principles on the ground. You see, I also have the lens of a parent of a young man on the autism spectrum. My son Austin had terrible work experiences when he was going through school. It usually consisted of 1 week packing shelves at Coles or Woolies, and it really provided limited employment opportunities or understanding. I passionately believe that we need to provide our young people with a proper work experience and give them the capacity to grow and to explore what real work might look like. So I decided to start in my own workplace, bringing together this desire for change with the real need that KBR had for diversity and inclusion, which really was their aspiration and intent. So this work experience is an exercise, as I said, in KBR's discovery journey, as well as Millie's, and also for some other work experience participants. For its part, I think KBR needed to work around this lack of traction that they actually had. In exploring what was causing this lack of traction, I think there's basically four assumptions that people work on, and that just slows down the process altogether in the workplace. Firstly, I felt like we were up against a time assumption. People assume that supporting someone with a disability would be incredibly time-consuming, and it would take away from time needed to get jobs done, including time away from my job. I think there's also an assumption that there's going to be a considerable amount of management and effort required, and this was going to take an undue amount of time from management, and many people across the business were going to have to, you know, devote time to this process as well. And I think people were unable to also see the perceived benefits and outcomes of that. At its heart, I think also there's an assumption about interactions. I think staff members were genuinely concerned about behaviours and interacting with people with a disability, and I think their own personal ability to respond to that. And finally, I think it's unpredictability as well. People with a disability are perceived to be unpredictable, and others won't know how to handle situations when they arise. So it's basic catastrophizing, I think. But I've worked out that the best way to get past these assumptions is to address them, but to also provide some proof. For my part, I was as reassuring as I could be in the workplace at the start of these work experiences to try and prove that these assumptions were unfounded. But in the end, there needed to be a level of trust from the company. And I needed to actually prove these assumptions were wrong. In my workplace, trust was partly established through a business case I developed and presented to senior leadership to get their approval. To develop the business case, I channeled my inner Frances Fray. Now, I'm a fangirl of Frances Fray, who is a Harvard Business School professor who lectures on trust in the workplace. She has really great TED Talks if you ever want to go and look her up. To give you the unabridged version, because I could actually talk about Frances Fray all day, trust requires three basic elements, and they are authenticity, empathy, and logic, radical logic. So in putting together my business case, I had to address each one of these key elements. Firstly, authenticity. I put to the company the need to actually be authentic in how we're living out our corporate values and making a real commitment to diversity and inclusion in the workplace. So we needed to talk about that and we needed to present it to the world. In addressing empathy, I was very keen to make sure that senior leadership understood that I understood and acknowledged that there were those assumptions around how this was going to work in our workplace and that I could provide some proof that would step past this. And then in terms of logic, we were going to put together some real supports, processes, management, routines, structures in place to ensure that success was going to happen and that we were also able to mitigate concerns that people may have had and that I would report back to them on the progress of those things. So a few years back, I got a yes to be allowed to move forward. Okay, so in addressing those assumptions, some really wonderful things did actually happen. First of all, if I can take Millie's journey, the four basic assumptions that I presented to you before were just blown away. Firstly, the time perception. Once Millie had a proper orientation and training on her tasks, which anybody should actually get at the beginning of their employment, there was only a limited amount of extra time required from her managers. Additionally, in terms of the task getting done, Millie actually saves us time on some of those admin jobs around the office. The management and effort perception. We have a template and routine, which means that Millie knows her tasks each week and is a schedule for getting those things completed. The schedule takes us 5 minutes to put together the day before, so not a big effort. Millie knows who her managers are and she has a clear reference when needed. Having now mastered many of the tasks, she completes them autonomously and with minimal management required. The interaction concerns. Well, Millie actually blew this one out of the water, can I tell you? The first day Millie came into the office, she was nervous and not interacting at all, as most of us are on our first day. We made sure that we took the time to introduce her to people in the office so both sides would feel comfortable. Look, fast forward to a few weeks later, and I found her in the lunchroom happily talking one day with the younger ladies in the office. People love talking to Millie, and she loves talking to them. Our technical team have made her an honorary team member, and Millie actively participates in all social events that go on in our office. The unpredictability factor. Again, she blew this one completely out of the water. Jump to where we are now, I think people see that the unpredictability that they were expecting was really underestimating her abilities. Let me tell you a story. Now, KBR has a lot of engineers working in our business. We had to put together a few weeks ago hundreds of promotional boxes. Nobody in our office could figure out how to actually put them together and make them stay together. It was endlessly frustrating. Millie's unique problem-solving skills have us all just standing back and watching her solve the problem. People now seek her out because she's got a different view on things. She has reorganized our storeroom so it's structured and ordered. I actually found her in there one day supervising our vice president to help access some items on top shelves. So she's actually seen as a celebrated and cherished member of the KBR team. Success, I think, has been achieved through a number of different things. Before everything, I think it was important that we selected the right person. We know this was only going to work if we had a participant that was genuinely interested in learning the work experience in an office. For example, our new work experience participant, Josh, has a very, very keen interest in all things military. So in working back with Canberra College, it wasn't a case of just send us some year 12 student for work experience. It's talking with them about making the best fit for the job. Orientation was important. Providing a detailed orientation, ensuring we didn't assume that Millie understood nuanced information. This included explaining how the office works, how and when to take a break, what's the protocol for going to the bathroom, what do you wear, what do you eat that's in the kitchen, so what's shared and what's not, all of those sorts of things. Who to talk to if you have a question? And we needed to repeat this, not just on the first day, but with every new experience as we go along. Introductions to people in the office are also important. Explaining what those people do and when she might refer to them was also important. We made sure we shared appropriate details about them personally, repeating introductions as required, practicing introductions and how to ask someone their name and perhaps ask again. It's beautiful to watch her at the beginning of her workday. Her first job is to ready the meeting rooms all around our office. She walks around the office and says hello to everybody, asks about their children, and asks them if they're feeling better. As I said, she remembers beautiful details about people. Setup. We made sure that Millie was provided with her own space. She has her own private drawer and a desk that she can come back to and sit at as required. As I said, she's got a dedicated drawer where she can actually put her personal items. She also sits near me and the office manager. And one of us is always present and available to Millie when she needs some support or if she may have a question that needs answered. For safety reasons, we also need to know where she is at all times. Schedule and routine. We established a regular routine and rhythm for the day. Core tasks are always completed first. Then flexible tasks that may change from week to week are done next. A critical success factor for Millie and the other staff in the office. We print the schedule off and provide it to her on a weekly basis. The schedule also makes sure that it's quite clear about when the breaks are as well. So that's included. Support and feedback. There is always a manager available to support her. Also, with careful introduction over time, Millie's built a support network all around the office. We give her appropriate, honest feedback as required, and she understands the best way to get the job done. And also, we provide clarity about the expectations for what completed might look like. And finally, mastery. As Millie learns tasks and processes, we actually encourage her to master them. She has become an expert in the office on some tasks. We look for opportunities to celebrate successes. Successes include her growing autonomy. She now coaches and mentors the new work experience person, and that's Josh. You know, after I put these success criteria together, I remembered an experience of starting a job myself in a large software provider a few years ago. After I came through reception, I got introduced to one person who pointed me at my desk. It was piled up with a laptop that was still all boxed up in boxes. And they simply said to me, "You catch and kill it yourself around here." It took me weeks to find all the equipment, including a chair, I might add. I think I'm still steamed about that. And all the information that I needed. These success criteria are what we should all expect and receive at the start of a job. I hate that there is a perception that it's different or way more because somebody has a disability. So what about the discovery journey for KBR? Well, I can report that there has been real traction now and we are seeing benefits for the business. Firstly, the tone in the office. Can I tell you that Thursdays have become special? People openly talk about it as Millie Day. If she's not there, she is missed. There is genuinely a good feeling, spirit, tone in the office when she's there. People are more respectful to one another, but this is not for show. People genuinely love coming to the office on Thursdays because it just feels better. We're also getting administration tasks completed, which frees up other people in our workplace. So it's actually saving us time. We can proudly say that KBR is starting, and I might add there's still a ways to go, to take some real action on diversity and inclusion in the workplace, and that supports our corporate values. We can show our customers and other companies in our industry that we can do something, perhaps together, and there's some value in that. We're seeing the unique thinking and problem solving that neurodiversity brings into our workplace. But, you know, I think my favourite benefit is seeing business as usual overtaking normal business. It's special because it's actually becoming less special, if that makes sense. This is actually what an inclusive world should be. So where to from here? Well, KBR is very keen to do more. I keep openly saying that my immediate plan is to have a Millie in every office in Australia, and we have a considerable number of offices around Australia. We've now engaged with the global head of talent in Houston, who's very, very interested in what we're doing with the work experience opportunity here in Canberra. So I've actually upped my aspirations, and I want to see a Millie in every office in the world. So a little bit of global domination, as it says there. At its heart, I would love to see these work experience opportunities turn into paid employment. And that's the most important direction I would like to take this. And hopefully that will be the next step on this KBR discovery journey. It's also an opportunity to provide industry and the corporate world with a template for doing this and moving things forward. I hope that you've had value out of this presentation from me, and I thank you very much for listening.
Millie's story is a wonderful illustration of the power of discovery and micro-enterprise. Millie, Simone, and Roz made it clear that discovery isn't just a concept, but a practical way for families to explore employment. Their presentation highlighted how a micro-enterprise can be a great way to explore interests, build skills, and generate income, even while the person is still in school. It also showed that discovery is an ongoing journey that helps reveal a person's potential and contributions while challenging assumptions about what kind of work might be possible. It requires looking beyond traditional job ideas and being open to creative solutions like micro-enterprise or tailored work experience. We hope this episode has inspired you to embark on your own discovery journey. Thank you for tuning in today. To hear more stories like this and continue learning about pathways to meaningful work, make sure you subscribe to Opening Opportunities on your favorite podcast app. You'll also find fantastic resources, including more video stories, information on discovery, customized employment, and micro-enterprise on the Imagine More website, imaginemore.org.au. And please share this podcast with others who might be interested in starting their own discovery journey. Next time on Opening Opportunities, employment consultant Milton Tyree returns to delve further into how challenging ingrained habits, both our own and those within systems, is crucial for opening up new opportunities for people with intellectual disability in the workplace. See you then.